You are about to hear an episode of The Instance, and one of the big reasons the show continues to survive and thrive is because many of you are supporting us at patreon.com/frogpants. If you haven't done it before, consider it. If you get a lot of value out of what you get from The Instance and other shows on the network, it's a great way to show it. That's patreon.com/frogpants today.
Your victory at the Nighthold has granted us the key to ending this war. With the pillars of creation assembled, we finally have the power to cut the demons off from our world.
The World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. This is The Instance.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Instance, episode 486. I'm Scott Johnson, and I am joined today on this patch 7.2 excitement day with Terpster, Mark the Terpster Turpin. Hello, Mark.
Boom! We're 4 days away.
Yeah.
It's 4 days.
Is that
it's
all
only
it is?
4 days away.
It's only 4 days. You're right.
It's only 4 days away.
Holy shit. That patch
And we're also joined by Dills.
Oh, is Dills here now?
Yo.
Oh, hey, perfect timing. Dills, everybody, from Texas. What's going on, Dills?
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Are we on the show?
We are. We just started.
We're live.
Yeah. We just
cool.
We're live. It's like you walked in the perfect freaking moment. Like, couldn't have been better. Nicely done.
I literally walked in too. It was kind of That's exactly what happened.
It's crazy.
I was taking the dog out and then I realized, "Oh my god, it's 11:08."
Look, dogs need to shit. I'm with you. I get it.
Dogs got to poo, man.
Yep. They got to do it.
It's death, taxes, and dogs pooing, isn't it?
Exactly.
Those are the things.
Three things you can count on in life.
Yep. Brexit and things like that.
Trump. Impeach Trump.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Damn
we've
it.
Done it.
Sorry.
We've gone too far. Hey, so it's exciting. It is exciting week because, my gosh, 7.2 right around the corner. And big thanks to Taryn Gregory and his incredible in-game cinematics team who broke the story for us with their rad cinematic. We all knew it was coming, but we didn't know it was going to be that cool. At least I didn't.
Yeah, but the thing is, I kind of tweeted Taryn about this, and he was like, "Oh, thanks." I don't think he understood what I was saying. I said, like, he's now in this completely thankless scenario where unless the next thing they do is better than this thing, we're going to be like, "Ah, man, it's just, you know, it was just not as good." You know, no matter how good it is, this one, the next one has to be even better.
Yeah.
And then the one after that, even better.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, honestly, they should have paced themselves because these are
starting to
really,
run out of
really
big bad
good.
Guys, aren't we?
Yeah.
These are amazing, amazing cinematics, amazing stuff happening.
Yeah.
It's
wow. for I mean, we love the story of Warcraft. Obviously, we just did another lore show last Monday, and I know people really enjoyed that. And this thing was like a nice little gift on the tail end of that. Of like, oh yeah, right. There's more story coming with this. This isn't just, you know, a new raid and or a bunch of content that's coming in the form of what do you call them when they're what the hell is that stuff called? Where they attack you? The assaults. There you go. The Broken Shore assaults. Like all that stuff is great and everything, but what I was starting to really groove on was the story. And it's funny because a lot of what they showed in that cinematic was reminiscent of some of the stuff you talked about in our previous Sargeras conversations. And I wonder,
we got to hear Sargeras again.
Yeah.
Like,
you
previously
did.
You've only like heard him when he like burnt Illidan's eyes out.
Yeah.
But this one, he wasn't even like the sort of the go-to megalomaniac villain, sort of like, you know, listen to me, I am the master. He was like, come on, this is our crusade. Come on, brother.
Yeah.
We're gonna do it together.
He was pretty. He was pretty chill.
Killed Jaden Sargeras breakup story. Essentially,
it was
right
a
here.
Little bit. It was a little bit like you know, potentially. They've been in a band, they've had a few hit albums, but they've just struggled to break into the number one spot.
Yep.
And you know what? He thinks, I reckon I know what's holding me back. Mm. You, the guy who formed the band.
The other guy. Yeah.
So now I'm going to write my solo album. You know, obviously we know Killjaden's going to have a terrible solo album.
Oh, it's going to be bad.
And then he's going to have to go crawling back to Argus and try and, you know, go back to the original garage where they started and you know, boogie on out there.
He'll get a small role in a little comedy, summer comedy that kind of flops and nobody sees. So the acting thing doesn't quite work out. Yeah, it'll follow
exactly.
The pattern. We've seen this before. We'll see it again. It's all good.
Wait, but do you think though this is like spelling the end of Killjaden? Like we're just gonna actually kill Killjaden now?
Yeah. Definitely.
And then Sargeras will have to like figure out a new way to. well, implement people, the final plan.
Some people are wondering, was this the plan all along? That Sargeras would use his Burning Legion to kind of kill everyone. Well, almost kill everything.
Well,
up
his
until
plan
he
is
found something that couldn't be killed, aka us. And then he's like, sweet champions, you got to go kill the Void Lords now. You know, I mean, it would be terrible, but well, I kind of like the idea.
Script.
If he just flipped it. He was just you have proven worthy. It's like Odin. Just like, okay, JK, I wasn't really going to fight you. You're worthy. Come on, let's go kill these Void Lords together.
Sure. It could be that. There's
that
that's a running theory.
That does make sense because his actual reasoning, right, is that he's trying to do, in his mind, good.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's everything is just too terrible. So I got to get rid of everything.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which makes a lot of sense.
Too vulnerable. So the best way to protect it is to just get rid of it.
Get rid of it. Because it's stupid. It's that way of protecting.
He's the biblical Lucifer in this allegory. He's he's the one that's like, well, Wayne, if it's the only way to make sure everybody's going to be okay is if we just force it. And he's forcing
everybody.
It. Yeah.
Exactly. It's like I let him look after my house. It's made of wood.
Sure.
So I'm going on holiday and then he sees this fire coming. So he knocks my house down, and he's there. You go.
Don't worry. Burn
didn't let it burn. There you go, guys. Yeah. Sorted. Yeah. No worries.
Totally. So this is what Sargeras sounds like. I have a little clip here, so check this out.
Our crusade will prevail.
All right, so he's serious, chill dude who wants to get the job done clearly, and then you got Space Diablo, aka Kill Jaden, saying this.
The day I took the fell fire into my veins, I saw my destiny.
Great. So there's that. And
saw his destiny.
And we got to see his planet. That was cool. What's it called, Terpster? What's the name of the damn thing?
Argus. We're going there.
Yeah, we're going to Argus. Yeah.
We're
going
to be Argonauts. I can't wait.
Yeah, that's exciting. Whatever the hell is going on there. It looks like that place has seen some better days.
Well, that's the thing. It's been torn asunder from fell exposure, as fell tends to do.
Yeah.
So Argus, Kill Jaden says, I've given everything, even my planet to be here. Mm. So don't you doubt my resolve.
Yeah.
I'm fully, I'm all in.
So I'm all in. So I don't want to seem naive or maybe I've heard this before and I just don't remember, but. Kill Jaden. He looks like a space goat. He looks like a little bit.
So
like...
that's where the Draenei.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They are the exiled Exodars. Yeah. They're the exiled Kill Jaden. What are they called? Eredars. Yeah. Sorry. There you go. The exiled Eredars called the Draenei. So they're the good people in there. If you had you've got the Nazi party.
Yeah.
And then. All other humans,
right?
We're all the same race, but then there's a really bad bunch, and so Kill Jaden and Archimond, they were one of three leading Eredar, other third being Prophet Valen, so those three basically had a similar situation to what happened with the Nighthold, where with Suramar, where the Legion came along and were like, we're gonna offer you a deal, join us. We're going to make you super powerful. You're going to be really important in our army. Or we could just destroy your planet. It's up to you. It's your call. And so Kill Jaden and Archimon were like, this sounds great. Yeah, let's do it. It's fantastic. Whereas Valen, obviously, with his great vision, he prays to the Naru or to the light, and then Naru come and save him with a crystal ship called the Exodar.
Yeah.
They're not great at flying them, but past that is great.
Yeah, it's awesome until they have to land it or crash it on something.
Sure. But they're going to fix it up. That's what they'd said. So we're probably going to be going to Argus on the Exodar and, some of the other Legion vehicles we've kind of got, or the Priest Class Hall. We've got ourselves a couple of transdimensional ships.
You don't think we're flying there in Dalaran? That's not flying anywhere, right? We're not going to...
Dalaran goes everywhere. I mean, wow. You wish it had some frequent flyer mile club thing, because it gets around.
It just seems convenient because you got a full-on kitchen chef place there. You got some sort of rat dungeon where you can just fight and practice, and then you got places to buy your ship.
I think it'd be really cool. I think I don't know how it works, if they'd phase it or if they'd have players that haven't played through the latest patch content, still have a Dalaran that's over the Broken Shore.
Yeah.
Who knows? I mean... Maybe the Death Knights take Arcarus up into space. Who knows? I don't know.
Could be.
It'd be interesting to see.
So, Velen, anyway, you mentioned Velen. Here's him. I'll just do a little taste of him here.
Gul'dan was merely their pawn.
Yeah, that dude's serious. He's always pretty serious, that Velen prophet.
Yeah, and
Velen.
He's seen.
Well, he's
some
been chased for 25,000 years by two old best friends. So, yeah.
That's a good point.
They're trying to genocide all his buddies. Mm-hmm. But equally, he's seen, you know, he sees all the future. He sees all these visions, some of them clear, some of them cloudy. And so, you know, him saying, like, hey, guys, this is still far from over, means a lot because, you know, he's read the scripts. They haven't got the rushes. He knows what's happening.
Yeah. But did it seem to you like, because it didn't seem to me like Khadgar thought it was like over. Like he was like, okay, now we got to go get, but maybe like Khadgar thought it was going to be a little easier.
We done it, guys. We got the pillars.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, now let's go get them and finish off the job. And it's like, well.
The pillars. Does anyone know how to turn these on? You know, it's just going to be that then they suddenly close the portal somehow. But you've got to kind of think as well, they put Dalaran right next to the Tomb of Sargeras. And then, you know, in the cinematic, suddenly a whole fleet of ships just kind of drops out of war.
Yeah, I think so. Dalaran's going to get. Like,
yeah.
I think it's, you know, Kil'jaeden says burn it to ash, but it was great because it conjures up those Archimonde cinematics from Warcraft 3, where Archimonde built Dalaran out of sand and then crushed the sand and the actual structures themselves crumbled like the sand he was crushing.
Oh, right. It's like a voodoo doll. So, cool.
And so it's great to see that sort of kind of Terran does this a lot. You know, that team, they call back from those kind of Warcraft roots. You know, we had it with some of the other kind of iconic shots, but in this one, you know, you see the hologram of Dalaran and you see that Kil'jaeden's watching all along.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool to be like, oh, man, nothing's secret from this guy. He knows. Yeah. He knows what we're doing.
Yeah.
And yet now he's deciding to send in the fleet. Why is that?
Yeah, it's real weird. Here's the burn it to ash line.
Burn it to ash.
So, and that's after they literally come in. The ships come in like Return of the Jedi style rebellion ships that are all kind of like.
They hit light speed and they just show up.
Yeah, it's super, super cool, but it always. Does that take you guys out of your Warcraft fantasy at all when stuff is kind of spacey and sci-fi in the game? I mean, it always comes
space.
Up.
Yeah, I don't know.
I like it because in my head, and you know, this is complete my head canon, but I like this. You know, this is ancient tech. This predates the kind of the medieval world that a lot of our kind of world is based in, and this is an ancient civilization. You know, different worlds where they advanced so far before this. You know. This legion just eradicated them. And so you get these kind of great archetype, these great artifact ships. And it's not like they're all kind of shiny and, you know, swish. They're kind of old and primordial and mystical. Like they don't have, like you don't see the engine running. It's magic. And
it's run on magic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's fel powered transportation.
Like Azeroth is like this primitive society in comparison to this, you know, people who've been around for 25 years or 25,000 years before building up all this fel tech because they're out to and then they, you know, Velen like essentially escaped them and found his way to, you know, Azeroth and so like the whole thing, like I remember when space goats were first a thing and it was all very new to what Warcraft felt like at the time, all of a sudden we were introducing all these kind of space elements and this otherworldly alien stuff, so it feels fine now because I've been eased into it, right?
Sure.
But I would say if I went suddenly from running around Orgrimmar you know, and climbing up like stick ladders to get to things, and then all of a sudden spaceships showed up, it would be weird.
Yeah,
but we've had some time in between that.
Exactly.
It's not so bad. It's a bit like I don't know.
We have flying boats. It's okay. They just have better flying boats.
No, that's true. Right? But it's funny because your fantasy stories usually or typically, you don't even think. It's like actual Middle Ages. You don't think about what's out there. You just think about what's happening here on the ground. And usually fantasy stories stay there. They stay grounded and they don't leave the planet.
I really like George R. R. Martin's take on it. And he says it's all about the furniture. And he says, like, you know, if you are in a magical world and you teleport from place A to B in a puff of smoke and some fire, that's fantasy. But if you have it in kind of a beaming at Star Trek, you know, with some kind of cool sounds, that sci-fi.
Yeah.
You know, and he goes on, you know, really, I mean, like some people think that, you know, Game of Thrones of War of Fire and Ice, of Ice and Fire even, sorry, is a post sci-fi apocalypse. So, you know, the long winter was a nuclear winter. All of the towns are kind of built over kind of caves and hot springs where people could have stayed warm and kind of sheltered. We've got these ancient black stone type things that could be plastics, and you know, you've got all these different things you can draw on that you could argue that, you know, for example, that it's all telekinesis and you know, shape shifting as opposed to magic and, you know, blood magic and power of king's blood.
Sure.
You know, it just is however you dress it up. Yeah.
It's really like that it's like that Sony game that's out now, the Horizon Zero Dawn game is a little bit like that, where the, you know, society has started over. It's a little more on the nose because these, all these creatures you fight are robots that rose out of the technology of an ancient past, but you're like, you're basically back to being cave people, living on top of a world that was once a thriving technological society. And that's always super interesting to me as a background.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Breath
like,
of the Wild, same thing.
Yep.
You know, you've got towers, these, you know, like ancient, that. Cool, powerful, you know, divine beasts, but they're technology, but they're divine. They're God created them.
Yeah.
It's like, well, or this ancient powerful civilization, but you know, given enough perspective, what's the difference?
Yeah, there isn't really. But I like, I guess what I'm saying is I'm always impressed when a company or a developer can skirt that deftly. And it feels like Warcraft has figured that out. They've done a good job with it.
I think, yeah, definitely. When we first had Space Goats, people like, Blizzard, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What's going on? I think the Burning Crusade was when it started to kind of introduce more of these kind of you know, elements.
Mm-hmm.
And but again, as Dils was saying, it's kind of been gradual for us. You know, we've had it over the time. It's grown and it's been retconned and refined, and it's smarter as time goes on. So yeah, love it.
It's pretty good. All right, so here's what we know about 7.2. Tomb of Sargeras. That was the trailer. Of course, that's the content that will come in the raid. That won't come right away though. That'll come a couple of weeks into it.
I think the raid's going to be a couple of months.
No, was it months? I thought it was weeks.
Yeah, I thought it might be weeks.
Mm.
But my thought was, and this isn't remembering any particular article, but I just had this notion that it wasn't going to be for a little while. Because we get in and we got a load of new content. We've got all the invasions. We've got the actual zone to start unlocking, the actual you know, Tomb of Sargeras continent bit.
Right.
So yeah, the Broken Shore.
You're right. There's a big lead up. You're totally right. So 7.2 will be here March 28th. We're talking, what is that, next Tuesday?
Yeah.
Tuesday. Jeez. And of course all the other stuff that happens usually with that sort of stuff, like PvP seasons end and all that stuff. Anyway, so that patch comes out, and we've talked a little bit about what we know about the story. We've talked about Velen. Jaina is the one I'm curious about. And they said in one of their Q&As that Jaina left the council because she refuses to work with the Horde. All right. She's still pissed. She got the white streak in her hair. She's no longer here to help. She's mad. All right. That's her deal. Click on Jaina. Get an earful. That's the deal with Jaina right now. The Horde is still a bad guy to her. So the Horde and Alliance coming together to fight the Legion really isn't her deal. And her story is not continuing in patch 7.2. So we don't get shit about Jaina in 7.2.
Yeah, I'm getting sick of her.
Yeah, and some episodes ago, somebody here made a prediction, Terpster. I don't remember if it was you or somebody here said, we think Jaina has a huge role to play in the end game of 7.3, 7.4, whatever, wherever it ends.
Well, we said that potentially one of the prophecies of on her third death, she will, you know, summon them or whatever.
Right.
That some people thought that Jaina could qualify that. Other people think Sylvanas. Some people thought the Grand Magistrix. It's probably Sylvanas.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think when you try and boil down Jaina's story, her kind of arc, you know, she's gone from being an advocate of peace with the Horde to being burnt firsthand by the brutality of an unhinged orc from Garrosh, to now being as anti-Horde as the most anti-Horde Alliance have ever been.
Yeah.
So she's flipped all the other way over. I don't think there's a huge amount of value in Jaina being a part of the current story, because it isn't about Horde and Alliance directly. You know, we're about us taking the Legion, and we are going to defeat the Legion. It'd be kind of cool if Jaina stopped us defeating the Legion by getting petty and killing some horde.
Yeah.
But even then, you know, all the horde that she'd actually have a problem with, like, you know, Garrosh, he's already dead.
Yeah.
It would be quite interesting to see her and Thrall now, previously very good friends. Now Jaina could blame Thrall for putting Garrosh in charge and, you know, him then destroying her nation. That could be a really cool thing to explore in the future. Maybe Jaina killing Thrall.
And where would
that take us? Where would that, you know, open up new areas to explore in the world of Azeroth or beyond?
Yeah, his children, so, Goel's children, would have to get revenge. That's what would happen.
Oh, exactly. Kill Jaina. That'd be great. Kill Jaina. Volume one and two. So the Eredar Lord. I don't know. I just don't think she'll show up again in Legion. I hope that it's, you know, because the next expansion, I mean, if the next expansion is Queen Ashara and N'Zoth, Ashara being highborn magic central, maybe Jaina would have a value in being a super mage, in being involved in that story. But even then, I'm not quite sure where she would be used to take us somewhere.
I'm surprised. I guess what I'm surprised about is this. I realize this is dipping back and not part of 7-2 or anything, but or even her storyline moving forward. But when Thrall fixed things by taking Garrosh out with a giant stone fist and a lightning bolt, you would have thought that would have had an effect on Jaina, where Jaina went, "Oh, all right. Well, my old pal Thrall has fixed the mistake. I'm still pissed there was this mistake about leadership, but I guess I'm glad he saw the problem and took him out." Like, I don't understand her motivation at this point.
I still an idiot.
Like too late, though, right?
Yeah, exactly.
He's already done quite a bit.
Yeah, that's true. I guess, I mean, Theramore is toast regardless.
Exactly. If you read Tides of War, like, the way they describe the mana bomb, like, Jaina sees, like, her gnomish apprentice, like, crumble to dust in front of her eyes. You know, she sees Archmage Ronin, see him, you know, make the ultimate sacrifice, teleport her out and try and control the mana bomb blast himself and die in the process.
Yeah.
You know, she knows that the mistake of Thrall putting Garrosh in charge is just as much to blame as Garrosh telling the goblins to drop the bomb in the first place.
Yeah.
I don't think she'll ever be resolved. In War Crimes, they try to, you know, soften her a bit, and she tried to have a bit of perspective on it all. But I don't think they're going that way still. I think that she's going to be very anti-Horde.
Yeah, she's dug in her and what she kind of believes right now. And I think she's, like Terpster said, she's seen the Alliance sacrifices. She hasn't seen with her own eyes, like, the Horde ones.
Yeah.
But she has seen with her own eyes, like, the Horde mistakes, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And as much as I, you know, like, at the beginning of this expansion, I was trying to defend the Horde with all my heart and soul.
Yeah.
The Horde has made some mistakes.
Yeah, they have.
A lot of people have made some mistakes.
It's been...
I would love the Alliance to really make some, though. I mean, like, Gen and stuff with Sylvanas didn't really do... I would have liked there to have been a bit more sort of Alliance massacring and just being like, you know what? Ooh, I don't know if I'm comfortable with this, you know? I think that would be really nice, because so far we have a lot of these moments historically with the Horde, but less so with the Alliance. And we've got some great characters, like, you know, some of the Dark Iron Dwarves, for example. Historically,
Greymane's prime to make a mistake pretty soon, don't you think?
Yeah. Exactly. I think that'd just be really good. I think it would be nice hubris on the Alliance side if, you know, Greymane, Jaina, maybe they teamed up to really just balls it up for everyone.
Yeah.
And it just feels like it might be headed that direction. But first, we have to take care of this storyline, this Kill Jaden thing, because obviously that's, like, next on the docket.
Yeah.
But I do believe that after that, we're going to see a little bit more of the politicking between the Alliance and the Horde, like, after what we think might be kind of like, okay, we've dealt with this situation, now what, right?
Yeah. I love where they're taking
kind of, what do we do with the world now type of feeling?
Sure.
And do we just, like, go back to fighting each other now? Or what do we, you know, what do we do?
I love where they're taking Greymane. I absolutely love that he is freaking pissed all the time now and is in this position of that's it. You've killed Varian. You've done this. You've done that. I don't trust anybody. I love his attitude right now. So I'm all for him taking a larger role in the future when it comes to this story, in whatever way they do it. And if it's, you know, if it's him and her aligning because they have now similar renewed hatred for the Horde and their in the sort of balance of power or whatever, that's really interesting moving forward. So yeah, more politics, please. That'd be great. Less in my real life, more in my game life.
More in your fantasy world. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I like that.
Because you can always log off if it gets a bit much.
That's right.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true. Yeah. The other thing, you can't so much.
Really annoying if you had to start paying priests for all their heals.
Yeah.
You'd be like, what? And they'd be like, well, you seem to afford that selfie camera. Why can't you pay for the heal care?
Yeah.
And I'd be like, I'm going to go back to EU Realms. It's free over there.
Yeah, EU Realms has way better priest care than we do.
But 200k gold, tokens.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Crazy. Yeah.
Plus your gold tokens aren't worth as much as they used to be anymore.
Well, but 200,000 gold, man.
It costs you more gold tokens to buy your Hearthstone packs now.
That's true.
Well, true. It costs me more, yeah.
Yeah.
But were you part of my money?
So wait, the change to pricing on international, well, I think it wasn't stateside, but it happened in the EU.
It was just internationally, yep.
We haven't had
EU and Britain, like pretty much. Like that everybody else kind of like didn't have prices really necessarily.
Yeah.
A lot of these countries didn't necessarily have it like listed in their current whatever. But yeah.
So
EU you guys got screwed a little bit.
Terpster, were you pissed?
Yeah, so all of our prices have gone up. Yeah. And it's a little bit annoying. It's a little bit Apple did this. Mm. And the thing is, historically, our prices have always been higher. And it kind of, to me, it kind of felt like, oh, I get it. So now that our prices would be in line in terms of the actual value, now they've got to be higher again still. Yeah. Always got to try and shaft us. With physical products, I can kind of understand. You've got costs, you've got to export. You know, World of Warcraft, I can actually understand. You've got all the costs of the servers, you know, the server costs, depending, you know, where they're paying for them, they've got to pay in that currency.
Right.
But for example, if they're hosting an EU realm in London, for example, the dollar goes far further than it previously did. So it should be getting cheaper to run Warcraft over in the UK.
Yeah.
But, oh, well, I don't know.
But that's not what their financial team looks at. Like their financial team looks at it and goes, well, you guys are now paying us less for a pack than Americans, right?
Yeah,
we can't let that stand.
Even if you really aren't in the larger scheme of things, the balance
you aren't for you.
Yeah,
but you are because when they convert it into dollars, then it becomes less than $1.99, right?
Yeah, it's balance sheet bullshit is what it is, and I totally get it. All companies do it. This isn't unique, but it does.
We had a whole conversation about this on the Angry Chicken, and we tried to be as level headed as possible.
But historically, was it ever palatable? That's the thing. If it had always been a direct correlation, I would be okay with it. But it was always like, you Brits can pay a bit more. If it's $1.99, we'd do a £1.99, which is the equivalent historically of like $2.70. But now it's like, you know, $1.80. They're like, whoa, hang on a second.
Yep.
Let's get back to that $2.70. Yeah. Those guys will pay it. They have. Let's find where they don't. Let's find the breaking point.
You know what you guys should do? You should throw all your tea in the bay. That's what you should do.
Well, yes. What we're going to do first is just
that damn tea is the problem.
Commit Sudoku and leave Europe and see how that goes.
Ah.
So we're just going to fill out all those numbers as it's heritage.
Sorry, I'm set into a coughing fit because you've...
It's fine. It's cool. So anyway, 7-2. Broken Shore.
Committing Sudoku. Anyway, 7.2. Let's talk about Broken Shore. There's plenty of content there to do. Ian Hazakosa says it is presented in a way that is different than Suramar, a more organic and open world experience. What do you guys think that means?
They've kind of told us we can unlock the different buildings and areas as we choose. So Suramar was quite a linear sort of thing where you unlock this base, then you go and find some ley lines, you unlock that base, and then you invite this guy back and he introduces a new daily quest, which means you go there.
Yeah.
Whereas on this one, you'd be like, I want to get the Mage Tower. We're going to go get the Mage Tower. And it's going to be a little bit more at your choice, I guess.
Yeah.
Less linear, more open world.
I like that.
So I think exactly it should be fun. I don't know. I've still yet to really take an alt through. I've got another 110, but I've not been kind of brave enough to really jump into doing a lot of the kind of the other content. So I don't know how much I care about a different experience or a less linear experience in some ways, but I don't know, you know, playing a lot of Breath of the Wild recently, and I've really enjoyed that. That's a very open game that you can go a lot of different places.
Yeah.
So, yeah, who knows?
In a lot of ways, Breath of the Wild sort of redefining what open world means, and it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see how that affects other open world efforts, including Warcraft. We know there's a ton of Nintendo freaks up there.
And, oh, yeah. I think it's interesting. You've got to bear in mind how long that game's been in development for, though. You know, it's been in development for 5 years, 6 years.
6 years, yeah.
So, it's a lot of time's been spent, but you see the results of all that time in the game. You know, it feels like everything you do, everywhere you go, there's something to discover. And that's the magic that Warcraft had.
Yeah.
You know, you could go somewhere and there'd be something there. You could find a way to kind of walk up a mountain and, you know, get into places that you weren't meant to be, but there'd be stuff there anyway. And it'd be like, oh, this feels really exciting. And I want to explore, I want to go places. And that's what I get with Breath of the Wild. You know, I jump in there and I just want to run around and just do stuff. You know, all the simulations and physics and, you know, systems built on one another just make for fantastic emergent gameplay.
Yeah.
Like, you find out, you know, kind of, you can complete electricity puzzles by just putting a load of swords in between the two points and making your own wire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you don't have to move around the boxes if you're smart because metal conducts electricity. You know, it's like, what? This is crazy.
It's weird. So the way those systems intertwine is really incredible. And I do find myself, as I'm playing Breath of the Wild, wishing for that kind of immersion in the current state of Warcraft. And I'm not sure the engine or the systems would ever support such a thing, but it does make me wonder if the future of MMOs is more about that kind of freedom and less about structured, linear sort of pathing, which is what, you know, Blizzard's great at that. They take us along for a wonderful ride and they handcraft it all. And that's great. And there's something to be said for that, but I don't know. Maybe more of it could be done in a way that's emergent and discoverable, and, you know, less written out.
I don't know if they're working on that this time around, though.
Well, maybe.
Well,
not.
We had it with the orbs, for example, of Khorazath or whatever his name was. You know, where there were orbs that there was no quest. There was a guy's map on a table which had pebbles on it, and if you went there, you could find caves underneath. There'd be orbs, but they'd have different kind of guardians protecting them, or different puzzles to get to them, or you'd have to do something. You know, I feel like there is a lot of those elements already in Legion, and Legion's definitely been a lot more about, you know, go out there, do it however you want. The zones are scalable.
Yeah.
You want to go this way, you can go that way. You want to go that way, go that way.
Yeah.
I love how well that's all been put together. I think getting flying in 7.2 should really make a big difference to how the world feels, and I think it'll be interesting to see if that's a positive difference or not.
Yeah.
You know,
I just think that a game like World of Warcraft doesn't have to have what Zelda has, right? Which is just like I move around and I feel like I'm figuring things out as I go. Because what happens in an MMO is everyone's just going to go online and figure it out. Because if you don't, you're like behind the next guy, and the next guy's like right next to you. You see him.
Mm-hmm.
You don't like move through the world at your own pace because the world is going to change, you know, on a new patch, and mm-hmm. you got to be ready, and you got to do all that you've got to have completed all the stuff by then if you're that type of person. Whereas like a game like Zelda, like I just go in there and I play it at whatever pace I want, and it's different. Like, you have more freedom to do that kind of stuff there.
No, you're
and
right.
Let the players take their time and figure it out on their own. And an MMO, you're keeping up with the guy next to you, right?
Yeah, so there's a bit of that, sure. You can't quite get away with the same level of it, right? Definitely an aspect of it that is different, for sure. There's no question about that. And of course, they have to try to design around that sort of thing. So much of what Warcraft is a race to get the best stuff. And the race...
Yeah, like, I always feel like a little bit of pressure to do something mm-hmm. within a time period, right?
Right.
Like, I'm really glad that I've killed Gul'dan now. Because it's like, okay, good. Like, I'm ready now for the next... And the content is coming faster, which is something we've been asking for for a long time. And so here it is. It's happening.
Yeah.
But now that kind of, like, real pressure of, I don't have a year to finish all this content. You know, I'm going to have to be ready for the next piece within a few months. Right. And if you kind of like try to do all of those things at once, I think you just end up with a really good one player game, single player game in an MMO environment, which we've kind of seen doesn't really work as well either. You have to have that like balance of the two.
Yeah.
So
Terpsir, how do you feel about is Gul'dan really? We're done, right? Two of them are dead. Now we don't need a third Gul'dan. We're done with Gul'dan. Right.
I imagine so.
Yeah.
But again, with Blizzard, you never know. Sure. But I feel for in Chronicle 2, they gave main Universe Gul'dan the same backstory as alternate Universe Gul'dan in terms of, you know, he destroyed his clan and, right, you know, that Harbinger's episode was basically the same story for the Gul'dan of our timeline, which is weird because it wasn't, but now it is.
Yeah.
And it's because it's a cool story, great perspective. And yeah, I think that Gul'dan's been a great villain and a focus really for you know, a couple of expansions now. And he's always kind of just getting away and just kind of, you know, we think we've got him and he never feels that imposing up until you kind of face him. And he's like, whoa, crazy. You know, he's hulking out. He's got the power of like Sargeras coursing through him. And you wipe and wipe and wipe until eventually maybe you kill him. Yeah. And it's a good feeling.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's good to have him gone. But also, who knows, his voice may seep into someone's spirit and tell him what to do. And Jaina will have green hair. Who knows?
Well, I don't know. Exactly. Maybe. But I mean, Illidan crushed his skull this time around. There doesn't seem to be any.
He didn't want to carry
remnant.
It around.
Anymore. Yeah. He didn't pick it up and look at it this time. Yeah.
Exactly. Well,
he's not like trying to get all the power now with it, right? He's just like, nah, just let's just end this.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think he feels like I'm powerful enough. I'm at my limits in terms of what I can control before it controls me. Mm. You know, this is now no more games. We're ending this.
Well, good news is you'll be able to continue to end it in this patch with assaults. There are 4 zones under attack in Legion or from the Legion. And it's a lot like the attack stuff that happened pre-patch or pre-expansion, except obviously more in-depth and you're unlocking things. Doing 4 world quests to defend against an assault is just the first part of the Legion invasion quests.
But these don't start for another 2 weeks, though, do they?
Correct.
So we get 7-2, and then we've got a couple of weeks before the assaults start happening.
Yeah, it's a real slow rollout, but it's also... It seems
but
like
again, as Deals was saying, the thing is because the content keeps coming, it's actually quite nice to have a bit of... like window, like you got 2 weeks to do all the 7-2 day one stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, cool. I can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I do find sometimes it feels like it's too much.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, slow down.
Yeah. If anything you could say about Legion, if it's for me in the negative would be that it was so much to do all at once that it was overwhelming. Like it's just so much stuff. Class hall questing or class hall progression.
But then they'll compare that with the cries on the forum where we've not got any new content. I played everything for the first, you know, and I completed most of Legion like that was available in the first month.
Mm-hmm.
And then because they gated some of the content and then it gives you a little chance to burn out and then they release the new stuff and they're like, oh, cool, I'm back in.
Mm-hmm.
But like at the moment, there's a holiday going on. I don't know what they call them, like a bonus weekend or whatever. So you get extra loot at the end of a dungeon.
Mm.
And so I was like, oh, nuts, man. I haven't done any dungeons in ages. So, you know, I jump back into some dungeons now. It's really good.
Yeah.
Got a legendary. Loved it.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. You got your first legendary. Well done.
Yeah, I got my legendary out of a dungeon, too.
Did you?
Yeah, exactly.
Still don't
have one. It's funny because I for a long time, I wasn't doing any of them. And then I realized I was running out of the shards you get from blues.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was like, I'm not farming blues anymore because all I'm doing is stupid raids. So ended up going back in and like farming a bunch. I had a great time.
Yeah.
And also the one thing that I really love now is this whole weekly quest thing that they've been doing,
mm-hmm.
Which gets me to do parts of the game I haven't been doing before.
Mm.
But yeah, you are right. Like it feels like a little bit like my palms got sweaty when I realized how close we were to the new stuff.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, wait a minute, no.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not done.
I'm not done yet.
With all this stuff.
Yeah, I feel like they are
really
trying.
The thing is that we play all these other games now.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So. That's what it is. But they're also just doing a dance. They're learning the dance of what's the best way to feed this stuff out without it feeling too long and without it feeling too short. And I feel like they're getting closer to the
too short
ideal.
Is better than too long.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Yeah.
Well, unless you're talking about Terps' penis. What?
Yeah. Well, when we're talking World of Warcraft content patches.
Yeah.
I mean, I will
take too short. Please.
I mean, you know, yeah. Terpster's long, but
like a noodle.
Yeah, it's like a noodle.
Just, yeah.
It's just length. It's all length.
Doesn't do anything.
Yeah, it's just
long, exactly. But there's just no substance there.
There's nothing to it.
Yeah.
It's depressing.
It's like a big piece of pasta. all right. What else? We got talked about the assaults. Oh, there's a bigger Thunder Totem defense part and 3-person scenario. So getting a cool scenario coming up. You can do world quests while you're still leveling as bonuses. but not the entire quest line. Speaking of flying, they talked about flying. They said it will probably take at least 2 weeks to unlock flying. That is what they believe. That'll take you like, less than the
Yeah, I've heard runs. Like longer though. I don't know.
Depends how far you are already. Obviously, there's sure. You need to have what's it called, the Pathfinders. Mm-hmm. I forget what the different cheeses are.
Grand things.
But I'm up to date, so it's just a question of what they introduce in 7.2 that we have to do, which is out there. I don't know.
You're the ones they're talking to. They're saying it's going to take you who are currently caught up in all your prereqs, it's going to take you 2 weeks to get your flying unlocked. Is what
assuming you're going at it. Yeah, exactly. But I think for most people, probably a bit longer.
And you're going to have to wait 2 weeks for the assaults to start. So that's the other thing. You'll need to hit Revered with a new faction as well. This is all for flying.
Yeah.
Flying coming. And your class mounts will take to the air once you can.
Oh, I can't wait for my class mount. Yep. Oh, no more Kodo.
Yep.
Oh, it's going to be so good.
Done with that Kodo forever.
Burn
it. Cook it. Eat it. It's fine.
Oh, man. There's a lot of good eating on it.
Lots of stuff coming for 7.2. Tuesday's going to be a big day, and I know WoW fans are stoked. I'm stoked. It's going to be a nice big chunk of content. And if you just want to get really stoked for it, just go watch that trailer. It's really, really good. Mm-hmm. And those guys are just killing it. Like, Taron Gregory is a very modest, humble dude. The minute you say, dude, well done, your team killed it, he'll say, deflect. It's all these other names, and he'll tell you everybody who worked on it. But I'm telling you, his leadership is rad. That guy's great. And I think he listens to the show. So if you're listening, Taron, you just keep making those. Like, I'm to the point that I would watch like a 12 bingeable episode Netflix run of in-game cinematic WoW stories.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Oh, I would love it.
Wouldn't that be really, really cool? After this last one as well, I was like, oh, man, I want more. I want it to be longer. Mm-hmm. I want there to be like whole narratives.
Yep.
You know, they do these children's books to get kids excited about Warcraft. You know, they've teamed up with Scholastic and stuff like that. I'm like, dude, just put out like a series on YouTube for free. Mm-hmm. Kids would love it.
Yep.
They'd be playing WoW because they love these characters.
Yeah.
It'd be great to know what's going on. I'd love it. I want to play it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's expensive to make because, you know, there's a lot of people working on that under pressure. And that was what, like 2 minutes, something long.
Yeah.
It's tough to do because they're also then already working on all the next stuff, probably, you know, for the next expansion as well, planning. You know, it's so much stuff to do, but wow, it'd be really good.
Yeah, it would really be. I mean, they'd have to have a dedicated team, and that's all they did, but I wouldn't say no to that if they ever wanted to. Plus, you know, we're always talking about how are they going to get the younger generation interested in these games and these IPs that are now 25 plus years old, and you know, everyone's adulting now. So how do you get the younger generation's heads out of League of Legends and into something like World of Warcraft? And maybe that's, you know, reaching out through other mediums, a free series on YouTube, for example, to get people excited about that stuff would be a great way to do it, because kids just need a reason. Give them a reason. All right. There's not a ton of other news in the other games, except I did want to mention I played. So speaking of Hearthstone and competitive card games, I played Elder Scrolls Legends for the first time yesterday.
Oh, yeah. What do you think?
I really like it. Like, I'm surprised there are a lot. Listen, I'm not going to yank anybody's chain and say there aren't a ton of similarities to Hearthstone, because there totally are.
Oh, no, exactly.
Yeah.
But they're honest with that. I think they've basically tried to make a game for post-Hearthstone, people who've played Hearthstone and just kind of burnt out. Oh, it's too RNG, it's too this, blah, blah, blah. And they've tried to introduce a little bit more complexity. You know, there's more keywords. There's two lanes. You've got your shadow lane where you're stealth. Mm-hmm. And then you've got your other lane, which is just a normal one. And you see, you kind of got two fronts to compete on.
Yeah.
You can, like, little things like the coin is a ring of Magicka, but has three charges. Mm-hmm. So you basically, if you go second, you get an extra
mana. You get the coin three times.
So it's like, oh man, this is crazy. I can think different plays now. I can kind of be ahead
of
the
curve. But I don't think you get an extra card, do you?
No.
I think it's the same number of cards, but you get that mana buff three times.
You do get
trying a different method to kind of even things out.
Sure.
But Hearthstone historically has had a pretty good win rate going first and second, as far as like it being close, because there's always going to it's never going to be perfect, right? Like a game like chess isn't going to be perfect either, like going first or second. But yeah, it's interesting because I played a bunch of different card games now, and every card game has their own version of how to deal with it, right?
Right.
And the extra card makes a huge difference too. So
yeah,
getting rid of that to put in the extra coin thing is very interesting because you have stronger early turns, really.
Yeah.
In Legends, then sure.
That's you also like have a stronger sizes, overall hand.
That's
from
true.
50 to 70.
Mm-hmm.
So you have much more cards to draw from.
A lot of cards. You have that rune system.
The rune system. If you draw prophecies,
mm-hmm.
Prophecy cards basically if they trigger on a rune, which is basically if you lose 5 health down from your starting 30, they play for free, mm-hmm. and so they can really, really swing a turn because just out of nowhere. You've yeah. suddenly got a taunt up, you know, a guard card up, or...
But the problem with that, though, again, is, like, you take out RNG in the card text, but you're adding it back in with something like prophecy,
Exactly, and the thing with prophecies is they're kind of overcosted for what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're great if they're free, but if you've got to play them, it's a bit, okay, it's not as strong.
But it's a cool system because it makes it so that the game, like, when you're winning the game... You're not necessarily winning the game, right? Like you're like I'm ahead in life, but it changes how you feel about
exactly.
being ahead in
and
life
sometimes
because being ahead in life could be a bad thing.
Right.
It's like playing against a pirate warrior. You know, you're kind of always worried about, hang on, do I want to hit them or not? Maybe I don't because then I put them closer where they can get a rune or you know now they can cast a spell that does more.
You can wait and just do a bunch of burst all at once if you feel like you can control the board, but
exactly. But then you run the risk of playing. So it's got a lot to it. I mean, to be honest with you, I'm still my favorite card game post Hearthstone is Gwent. I think Gwent is amazing.
Yeah, Gwent's good.
It's so much fun. It is truly wizard poker.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game of kind of representing and bluffing and swings and surprises and it's really good fun. But equally, so Legends just came out on iPad.
Yeah.
And oh my lord, it's so much better on iPad than it is on PC.
Yeah.
Just feels so great. The single player is also amazing.
Yeah, I love the story mode.
Genuinely fun mm-hmm. way to do it. As you play through, depending on what avatar you have, you get rewarded different cards.
Mm-hmm.
You make choices. So like you got a narrator, and it's like they were set upon by a wolf pack, and then your encounters against a wolf, and it's all these different wolves, and you beat them. And then it goes like, in the corner, they saw a cowering whelp. And it's like, and then the person asks the narrator, well, what did they do?
And then
you get to choose. Do you kill it? In which case, then you get this like execute card. Or do you spare it? In which case, you get this wolf card, which mm-hmm. does such and such.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a really fun way to have some
RPG, and they give you some weird moral choices with those card choices.
It's
really well done exactly. the way they do that. I'm surprised.
Exactly. I was picking stuff based on story rather than card.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I'm not going to let this guy die. No, I'm saving this guy.
I did too. The
artifact, And it's fun to see, like I said, the role playing come out in that. So it's a really, really fun game.
I'm impressed. Really impressed. I thought I was expecting, I went in with really low expectations and I came out going, all right, this is a new twist on the thing. It certainly owes a lot to the mainstream path that Hearthstone carved, but well done, guys. You've taken it and kind of made it your own in a lot of ways. It's real cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
I think the problem for me though with a game like Legends is that I'm not scratching a different itch, right? So I played it for a while. I went through all the different modes and then I just kind of was like, well, am I gonna play this or Hearthstone? I'm gonna play Hearthstone.
Yeah, of course.
So there's not really room for this, right? It's kind of what happened with a lot of MMOs. It's like, well, am I gonna play this or am I gonna play WoW?
Yeah.
I'm gonna play WoW. Let's be honest here. So why am I gonna spend a whole bunch of time in this game?
Yeah.
So but that doesn't mean like it's a bad game. It's just like for me, it's like it's not different enough from what I already wanted to be doing.
Right.
So the card games that have been like keeping me in there. And playing more, which are not Hearthstone, are like Eternal and Hex and Magic.
Yeah.
And those are all the games that are like, they scratch different itches, right? Like Magic is like this super complex, crazy game where you can do all these different things. Hex is like an online version of that with some slightly different rules. And Eternal is like a mixture between what Hearthstone does really well and what Magic does really well and kind of combines them together in this really nice package. So like all of those are giving me different experiences and I just felt like Elder Scrolls Legends didn't give me a different enough experience. Like I liked the lane idea and I liked the prophecy thing with the extra cards for health, but I just ended up kind of walking away feeling like there wasn't enough there to differentiate it from Hearthstone. Like the combat system being the same, a lot of the words doing the same things. And then there was cards. And then, of course, like the world isn't as familiar to me as Hearthstone is. So like the, or as Warcraft. So when I'm playing the game, like the characters don't really connect to me at all. Right. See, I'm not for, like, who the hell is this guy?
For me, that stuff's popping really well because of my how deep I get into those Elder Scrolls games when they come out. Like Skyrim, sure. I've played through twice and love that game. And, you know,
the deepest one I ever played through was Skyrim. So like. You know, just having one of those games, I don't think was enough for me to like see familiar faces.
Sure, it's the shift,
that makes a big difference. Yeah, that, you know, the gameplay aside, like the world itself and feeling like you're in this familiar territory does make a huge difference.
I think some people are going to like or do like the shift in tone. If for example, you find the world of Hearthstone just a little goofy, then you're gonna. This is tonally very different than that. This is
sure.
like a
much more serious.
Serious and these characters. You know, it's more like Magic in that sense, where everybody's, you know, dark wizards and Draedic lords, and you know, it's not. Hey, there's a goblin with a machine gun or any of that shit in there, which is great if you're looking for a change of pace. But I guess I'm overall just impressed that in the shadow of Hearthstone that anybody can successfully do anything. Gwent, it's the same thing. It's like well done, guys, for making something different, appealing to a, you know, part of the audience that maybe wants a change and yet, you know, retaining some of the smart things that Blizzard brought to the table in the first place that made this genre.
Similar to World of Warcraft, though, Hearthstone has just kind of spawned a whole slew of online card games.
Yeah.
Once people see that there is success to be had here, because forever online card games was Magic the Gathering Online.
Yep.
And it was terrible.
It was real bad.
It was just like an unplayable mess. And the only people who did play it were people who just really wanted to play Magic at home. And
super slow and complicated interrupting each other's turns.
It just looks bad. And like the thing is, so a game like Eternal actually takes the Magic system. So you can, it has interrupts and fast spells and things like that, similar to Magic. But when you don't have one to do, it doesn't stop and ask you, right? So it feels smooth. That's always been the problem with like Magic or Hex is I was playing Hex online and like every single time you swap a phase, you have to tell the game, all right, I'm ready to I accept what the other guy did. So you're like constantly riding like the space bar, like yes, 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 okay, yes, yes.
Right.
On your turn or the other guy's turn. And that gets tiresome. And a lot of times like I'd forget that I'd have to do it, and then suddenly like, and there's a timer, like a chess timer to the matches. You have to play a best of three, and I'd lose the game because I ran out of time, not because I lost the game, right? Because I didn't run out of time because of my playing. I ran out of time because I forgot that the timer was going. And what Eternal has done really well is they've taken that same kind of thing where you can't interrupt, but they're like, unless there's a thing to do, we don't stop you. Like we don't actually ask you anything. So it just feels a lot smoother. So I really like what they've done with that game a lot. It's a lot of Magic designers too. But it's cool that you're trying out other card games, Scott. Like I think you should keep going down that rabbit hole, man.
Yeah, there's I like it. Maybe the you know, my inability to stay sticky with Hearthstone, well, maybe the way I get back to doing that is you try everything else and you realize, oh, all right, well, now I've seen systems from different angles. I've seen them from the under and the over and the sides. And maybe that leads me back to a place where I'm like, well, no, Hearthstone's doing this better than anybody right now. So why am I,
you know,
that's possible.
So I've been playing all the games just to like inform myself for the Angry Chicken show. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's similar to like what we do on this show.
Sure.
Is you got to kind of see what all these other games are, right? Like, you know, WildStar comes out, you got to go check that out.
Sure.
But like I've kind of noticed that no matter what these other games offer and how cool they are, the game that I turn on and want to play for like 8 straight hours is still Hearthstone. I don't know what exactly the magic sauce is that makes it happen that way, but there's something in there. It's the only game that I've like that I want to keep hitting that button.
It's definitely some Blizzard over and over some Blizzard magic happening like often with most of what they do. They keep you there. Like Diablo, for example, they got a new patch this week that was actually kind of significant, and not a lot of people are talking about it, so I just wanted to mention it. You can now create up to 5 different gear sets and put them in a closet. It's literally this closet that's now sitting next to your stash, and you click in it, and it opens, and there's like a hanger in there with like clothes on it, and you have
like a skeleton in my closet.
It really is
finally coming
and,
out.
And you can name them and create them and create variations of them, up to five of them. And it also includes,
is this five per character or just five total?
Five per character.
No, per character.
Yeah, okay. It's in fact
that okay, because that's been my problem is that my gear. Because you share your cash with all the other guys, right? So,
yeah,
like you're like all my like once the seasons are over and I'm like back to like okay, all these guys share everything.
Mm-hmm.
There's not enough room for like all the extra sets that I eventually will complete and want to try out. Right. So I've got like all these. I mean, I'm like organizing them in like a million different ways, trying to make it work so I can easily find. Oh yeah, I've got four of these Demon Hunter pieces for this one set.
Yep.
They also they put in a crafting mat tab, so all your mats now are in a different inventory screen, yep. Which I love.
I love that. Very nice.
That's a very good thing. It's amazing.
Yeah, huge quality of life improvement for no question about it. And I think we're really, literally, like right on the heels of that Necromancer coming
out. They've got now. They've also got seasons on console, mm-hmm. Which I didn't know.
Yeah, that came out of console, nowhere.
Yeah, exactly. Console players are no longer like, you know, lower class citizens. I
yep.
don't get it.
Yep. The other nice thing,
PC still has a lot better stuff.
I meant to mention this about the armory. So when you go to your closet and you've got your five sets, it also retains whatever runes or not runes, but what's it, the cube stuff. All that stuff is retained as well. Yeah. So you don't have to go dink with that. If you got a perfect build across, you know, the cube and
Canai's cube.
Yeah.
How do you say it?
Canai's cube. Yeah.
Canai's cube.
It keeps track of it all, and it's really good. So it's a great little patch. I think it's preparatory to what's coming with that Necro. I'm super jazzed about that. I still maintain the funnest thing I played at BlizzCon last year was the Necromancer, and it was in very limited build or whatever. So I freaking love that, and I cannot wait for that to come out. We don't know what it's going to cost yet. There's some rumors and stuff floating around, but I don't know. We have any predictions? What do you guys think it's going to cost you to get a Necro in your life?
$20.
$20? All right, I'm going to say 15. Like I'll say 15. I hope it's 15. That's probably too low. That doesn't seem Blizzard.
Oh, man. I hope it's not even that much.
I mean, it's
you've got to think about it. It's not like just, exactly. There's more than just the Necromancer.
Okay.
You get like
that's
a whole
true.
New
that's
you know, world. Mm-hmm. And
I'm going to hope for $9.99.
Oh, that seems, I think that's, yeah, seems that's low.
I mean, I would love to be wrong on this one. I think I'm on the cheap side, but we'll see. Yeah, this is a game that hasn't had any additional funding since the Auction House and
True.
Reaper. And it's been around a lot. I think they want to get some money in the coffers.
And let's be honest, you pay $25 for like a mountain WoW. So.
Yeah, exactly. And people do. You know, I don't, but people do.
Yeah,
so,
people do that.
Yeah.
They'll charge whatever they think people will pay. Let's be honest.
Well, listen, if they charge $25, $30, I'm probably doing it because I really like the Necromancer.
That's a sad thing, isn't it? Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And for me, it's like, oh, what a great excuse to play loads of Diablo again.
Mm-hmm.
so, it's not like I wouldn't get $30 worth of value out of playing Necro and then just playing again.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, everyone, all my friends playing it and just being able to play, oh, look, we can all go and do this thing. But I don't know. I think 20, 25 is probably the top end. I think 30... How much are new games now? What are they, $60?
$60 for a new game, yeah, roughly.
So, yeah, 30 maybe. But I think yeah, somewhere around that probably.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to that, whenever the hell it happens. And I'm guessing, this is me just guessing, summer. Yeah, like June, July maybe, something like that.
You think?
Yep. I could be wrong. I have no idea.
Nerdtacular weekend.
Oh, yeah.
We could make it a thing.
We could make that the launch place for it, the big launch
exactly.
at Nerdtacular.
That'd be good.
June of 2017.
I'll drink loads of alcohol.
Yeah. Well, you never do that, so it's that'll be unusual for you.
Yeah.
And finally, in Overwatch, Orisa is in the wild. She's out. She's there. She's playable. She's great. I think she's awesome. I really like her quite a bit. And she just feels great. So if you haven't played her yet, load up.
She's only in quick play, though, still, isn't she?
That's true. She's not competitive, right?
Not in competitive yet.
Yeah,
but,
that's true.
You know, learn her.
Yeah.
Get it down.
She's basically she's like a four-legged sheep robot with horns and a rail gun that is amazing and has great range, and she's tanky as hell, and she has this her E is this awesome
grab everyone together like a mini Zarya.
Yeah, it's either E or Shift for that, I can't remember, but one of them does that, and then the other one does the shield, which is like a portable She basically creates a portable Reinhardt. Not portable, but one that she can throw down. And it'll just sort of sit there and take 400 points of damage or 800, whatever it is. And she's also got some sort of damage mitigation ability. And her ultimate is like a stim across the board for kind of like if you could take Mercy's right click and then make it a team wide right click all at once for a decent amount of time. That's basically what it is. She's great. I really like her. She's weird as shit looking, but that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, she is very strange looking.
Yeah, it's fine. Look, do we want all the... We don't need, you know, everybody doesn't need to look like something we expect. I'm happy that they're putting out stuff where I'm like, whoa, that's weird. Like, that's better to me than not. So.
Oddities. Yeah. That was one of the, that's one of the features of Overwatch.
Yeah.
And she is odd.
She is very odd. And oddities continue to come out of the Overwatch team. Anyway, there you go. That's pretty much your wrap-up this week. Very much looking forward to World of Warcraft patch 7.2. That's happening next week. We will be back to talk about that a little bit later. Before we get out of here, let's talk about anything anybody has going on. Dills, you got anything going on this week people should be watching out for?
Mostly just check out the stream, twitch.tv/WillyDills. That's been... there's no more SF for anybody who's been like trying to find it.
Oh, renamed. Sweet.
Yeah. No more SF on there. But we've been doing a lot of arena because there is now a top 100 leaderboard. So we got to get 30 runs in on the month. And if we can, right now we're averaging just over 6, I believe.
Oh, wow.
So we got to get to like, 6.5 at least, I think. But I'm playing on the EU, and apparently on the EU, people have like higher averages for some reason. So, well, and it might be there's a bigger difference between the best players and the worst players, right?
That's the thing. I'm just there helping bump up our numbers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got to get to at least 6.5, I think, to make it. But I don't know. We'll see. It depends. I've been getting some really bad drafts and making it kind of work anyway.
Yeah.
So if I can get some good drafts finally, then I think I'll be in there. Got a good shot. So check it out.
Fat City. Check it out. Terpster, anything for you?
Nope.
Nope.
Just check out being awesome, guys.
Yeah.
Go tell your neighbor that you love them, unless they annoy you. Tell them they annoy you.
Yeah, then be like, suck. You annoy me, neighbor.
Yeah, you exactly. suck, neighbor. But I have a neighbor. I have a neighbor who annoys me. Yeah, I got lots
everybody
of those.
Love everybody. Yeah. All that stuff.
Also, our lore episode we put up on Monday was I think really well done.
Yeah, it was good fun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, we did it on Thrall. Mm-hmm. We're probably gonna do some more deep dives, probably Illidan and probably Jaina.
Lots of requests for Uther. Uther gets a lot of requests
Uther
for some reason.
Uther as well. Oh, definitely. Yeah. Oh, Uther.
Yeah.
Oh, what
the Lightbringer.
He's one of my favorite.
Yeah, he's great.
He is.
Yeah, he's
old man champion.
You guys got to do. You guys got to do Van Cleef.
Oh yeah, Van Cleef.
Yeah, we could do. I mean,
the entire Van Cleef clan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite things in the game.
He's a stonemason who's also a pirate.
Yep.
There we go. That's
was forced into the world of piracy.
There you go. There's our lore episode for Van Cleef, everybody.
They built a ship inside the mine. I know. It's genius.
Oh, my gosh.
There are some big gates in Dead Mines, which always blew my mind. I was like, oh, so they can get it out. I get it now.
Now you understand.
I'm just saying it's like a ship in a bottle. So that people can really understand why the Alliance are so shady sometimes, too.
Well, even then, it was actually Onyxia.
Yeah.
So she was the one who started the rebellion and stopped, said not to pay the stonemasons. And then in the rebellion, Tiffin, Varian's wife, got killed. Which obviously then Varian was like, oh, Cage, time to throw down.
There was a lot of factors, yes.
It was Onyxia. Yeah. Always, the great thing about the Alliance, there's always a scapegoat or dragon.
The only other thing I would tell people is if you are on Android or iOS, go grab the Anchor app. I now do a little show for them every day, various segments about video game news of the day. So if you want to go check that out, you can find it at the Daily Blip. It'll be featured there. Anchor is the app. ANCHOR, just like Anchor you drop on a ship, and it's a weird new cool way to get audio. It's like radio
and FM
reimagined. Okay, anchor.fm is the website. You can find details there, of course.
I've done it.
Give it a shot and let me know what you think of the Daily Blip. That's gonna do it for us. Thank you all for being here and listening. We hope you guys have a fantastic week in and out of the Blizzard games. Go to frogpants.com if you want links to everything else we have going on. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Terpster, and for Dills. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.